Well, how's everybody doing tonight? Doing okay? Good. There's a little thing that I do with my daughter, and if you don't know, her name is Emma. She's 6 years old. And when things get out of control or they just get whatever, and she's doing anything that isn't necessarily appropriate, I stop her and I ask her, and I did this in youth a few weeks ago, if you guys remember. I say, Emma, what's the most important thing? And she goes, Jesus, family, and friends. And I've been doing that with her since she was probably, I don't know, 2 or 3 years old. And I guess it was just birthed out of a need as a parent to come up with something that would create for her a diversion from complaining about everything. But it's so good. So here's what I want you guys to do with me. I want you to do that with me, if you wouldn't mind. Because it is true, right? What's the most important thing? I mean, it's Jesus, your family, and your friends. So when life gets crazy, and oftentimes people that come to midweek services, I relate you to the kind of people that are like, Jesus, family. I shouldn't be chewing it anyway. Jesus, family, and friends. So here's the thing. During the midweek, and your life is crazy, and it's hard enough just to kind of survive, you still make it to church, and you go, what's the most important thing?
Jesus, family, and friends.
One more time. Ready? Take a deep breath with me. What's the most important thing?
Jesus.
All right, good job. All right, I want to read something to you. It's Galatians 3, 2 through 14. And it's a great portion of scripture. I'm going to read a lot out of Galatians tonight. And if you want to follow along, I think it'll be up on the screens for you. But Galatians 2, and this is the Message version. Let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it by responding to God's message to you? I'm asking you that question, so when you read it and you hear it, think about that answer. Was it by working your heads off to please God? I love how the Message Bible is just very forward. Or was it by responding to God's message to you? Are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people would think they could compete or complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? Did you go through this whole painful learning process for nothing? It is not yet a total loss, but it certainly will be if you keep this up. Answer this question. Another one. Does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit, working things up in your lives, you could never do for yourselves? Does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving or because you trust him to do them in you? Don't these things happen among you just as they happened with Abraham? He believed God, and that act of belief was turned into a life that was right with God. He believed God. And that act of belief was what turned into a life that was right with God. Is it not obvious to you that persons who put their trust in Christ, not persons who put their trust in the law, but put their trust in Christ, are like Abraham, children of faith? It was all laid out beforehand in the scripture that God would set things right with the non-Jews by faith. Scripture anticipated this as in the promise to Abraham, all nations will be blessed in you. So those who now live by faith are blessed along with Abraham, who lived by faith. This is no new doctrine. And that means anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Scripture backs it up. Utterly cursed is every person who fails to carry out every detail written in the book of the law. The obvious impossibility out such a moral program should make it plain that no one can sustain a relationship with God that way. The person who lives in right relationship with God does it by embracing what God arranges for him. Doing things for God is the opposite of entering into what God does for you. Habakkuk had it right. The person who believes God is set right by God, and that's the real life. Listen really carefully now. Rule-keeping does not naturally evolve into living by faith, but only perpetuates itself in more and more rule-keeping. a fact observed in Scripture. The one who does these things, rule-keeping, continues to live by them. Here's the best part, and I'm done with the Scripture. Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating, cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. Do you remember what the Scripture... Do you remember the scripture that says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree? That is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse. And at that same time, dissolved the curse. And now because of that, the air is cleared. And we can see that Abraham's blessing is present and available for non-Jews too. We are all able to receive God's life, his Spirit, in and with us by believing. Just the way Abraham received it. I'm done. Message over. Pray with me real quick. Lord God, we're so grateful for the opportunity to come before you tonight. Jesus, I ask that you would just fill my words with your presence. That you would fill this room with your presence. And that you would let not any of things that come from my mouth or that take place here tonight be from any of us, but all of you, Lord God. We give to you tonight our lives. And we stand before you asking to be your child, to come into your presence, to offer up to you our sacrifice and our trust and say, just thank you for dying on a cross for us and giving us an opportunity to live free in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So listen, have you ever been to or been invited to an event where it was built up for months and months and months in advance? Or however long. And by the time you got to the event, you were in your mind thinking, this is going to be the greatest thing I have ever been to in my life. I use the example of like a Christmas party, right? So have you ever been invited to a party? Anybody in here ever been invited to a party? Okay. So if you've been invited to a party, sometimes you've been invited to like a really casual party. Sometimes it's just a Facebook message. Sometimes it's like a phone call. Sometimes it's like, yeah, just come on over anytime. No big deal. But this isn't that kind of party. This is like the party of the century, and it's been built up for months, and you're pumped about it. I mean, it's like a black tie affair, all the fixings. It's going to be on. Like they got carolers ready. There's decorations. You're coming in gowns, ladies. Guys are coming dressed up. Like, it's the party of the year. It's legit. And you're just pumped about it. Everybody's coming. You're talking about it. And the night comes, and you're ready to go. And you walk in, and you park your car. You walk up to the house, and you're about to walk in. The outside looks great. You get inside, and it's like a Christmas tree with a few decorations, kind of some limp banner over in the far corner. Like a dinner spread with like cheese dip and some busted crackers and like a few cups of juice. Now, that may be an exaggeration, but I've been to a few events where I'm like, I thought it was going to be legit. And I get there and I'm like, I mean, it's like I paid for it, so whatever. But yeah, it's not what I expected. Have you ever had that happen to you? I've had it happen to me. How many times have we done that, or do we do that when we go out and we leave from church? And we go to our friends and we're like, hey, I got to tell you about the greatest experience I've ever had. You got to come to my church. It's amazing. I go there every single week and I'm changed and I'm touched and I'm loved and my life is just all better because I found Christ. And now I go to this church, whether it's church on the north, wherever. I go to this church. It's the best thing ever. You got to come. You got to come see it. Please come there. And weeks and weeks and weeks of whether it's a coworker, a friend at school, or whatever, however you know this person, you're just beating them like, you got to get there, you got to get there, you got to get there. It's the best thing that ever happened to you. They don't know that while you're attracting them to this big, huge, awesome party, the best thing that's ever going to take place ever, that you're dealing with all kind of junk in the background. It's really not going to be that great. And at the end of the day, it's going to be a couple of crackers, some cheese whiz, and maybe some punch. Maybe. But you're fronting like it's the best thing ever. Because the reality is that it is the best thing ever. Until we get involved. And then we ruin it. Because we just read that it is a gift that was given to us. And it's an amazing life when you live free. When you have an opportunity to have a relationship with Christ. The idea of my analogy and the message tonight is all about the fact that what we're presenting to people, what we're offering to a generation, what we're offering to our very own friends, what we got hooked into was the idea that there's a relationship in a life that's so much better than you ever had that takes away all the pain you've ever experienced, that eliminates the doubt, eliminates fear, eliminates strife and depression and anger and anything, everything and anything. It is the cure-all to your life's problems. And it is. The problem is, we're at this party too. And so when people get here, they come in and they're like, this isn't exactly what you said it was going to be. I mean, you said it changed you and you're great with it. But man, I've been coming for a few weeks and like the first Sunday was really cool. Second Sunday, not so bad. Then I was like, man, I really love to be a part of the worship team. How do I do that? Well, just go to practice. Just start showing up. Be a part. Okay. 3 months in, I'm like, this is making everything worse. Like, I came here, I caught it, I'm revived, I'm saved, it's making sense, but now I'm getting to know people, I'm actually getting involved, now I'm volunteering. I don't think I want to go to this party anymore. And the sad truth about that, or the hard fact or pill to swallow with that idea, is that it really becomes sort of this joke or this, you know, reflection on us. That's not the case. I mean, we're pushing, we're fighting, we're striving. And a lot of us are. But how many times throughout the church, and I'm not talking about necessarily church on the North Coast, don't get me wrong, it's just the church in general, where we've offered up all these great things about a relationship with Christ, but we're so incapable of delivering, and everybody would shake their head yes, right? Because I'm not trying to say I'm capable of delivering that. The problem is that we front as if we are capable of delivering that, and it wasn't Christ's sacrifice that actually gives that. It is just that. But here's what we do. We come in, we get people in the doors, and then we just work our darndest at disrupting, corrupting, and interrupting every single thing that God wanted to offer to that individual the second they walk in the door. It's craziness. And a lot of times, man, there's so many good-hearted people that don't even mean to do those things, and we still do them. So it's not as if I'm preaching up here and saying to everybody, look, you got to be more perfect. It ain't going to happen. You know, we're all going to be well-intentioned people for the rest of our lives and mess up. That's not what I'm getting at. I guess what I'm getting at is the idea that instead of posing as someone who is perfect, when you're advertising this greatest party ever to your friends, coworkers, family, whatever, just let them know. The party, Jesus, is the best thing ever. Me, the attendee, the planner, whatever you want to call yourself, the worst thing ever. I'm striving for that. And that's what gives me my relationship with Christ. That's what cures my depression. That's what takes away my pain. That's what gets rid of my anger. You know what I'm saying? Just let them know what the party's all about from the beginning. Don't try to front like you're the reason why it's going to be better, because you're not. And you eliminate all the weirdness that takes place after they get there. Because then you're like, because you know the reality. Like, you're going to come and they're going to be there and you're going to be like, man, I hope they don't find out this ain't what I've been saying it is. Because at some point they are going to, because you know what they're going to do? They're going to want to volunteer for stuff. They're going to get involved. And they're going to find out that in order to do that, you got to go through 99 classes of XYZ this and doctrine that and theology this before I can even shake somebody's hand at the front door. Man, I'm sorry. But there we are doing that first thing I said. We're disrupting it. We're disrupting the opportunity for you to have a relationship with Christ based on his sacrifice, the one-on-one experience that God wants for you. We're busy disrupting the plan that he set forth for us. That's all he wanted, was to give us freedom. When he died, freedom happened, and that was it. But what we're doing is setting ourselves up for failure by coming in and being like, hey, I know you came to church, and now that you're saved, let me explain to you, well, the church's position on politics and how you should vote. Because here's the thing. Look, we're in this world, but we're not of it. And I get that. But here's the if you're a Christian and you label yourself that and you're going to serve the Lord, you really ought to be voting this way. And we disrupt the whole process. Because we're trying to bring something into the equation that doesn't include that. Now, don't get me wrong. When I start talking about the idea of classes, whether it be our foundations of faith, or the North Coast Bible, you got to have those things. They're so vital to your growing in Christ. I'm not downing them. I'm just suggesting that that's not what is taking me to heaven. I mean, it's not me. I don't know how you're getting there, but that's not taking me to heaven. Then we're corrupting what God has to offer to us in other ways. A whole generation, including you, 0 to 150, whoever the oldest person is on the planet, has watched at this point a number of different venues, whether it be on TV or at camp meetings in the 90s, or, man, they're still running camp meetings. I thought a camp meeting was like a place, an actual tent, like with dirt on the floor. I didn't know you could do a camp meeting on TV. Did you guys know that? There's like a show called Camp Meeting. It's weird. We're disrupting this whole process of understanding when it comes to the idea that Jesus Christ died, you can accept him and trust him as your savior, and heaven happens. By getting on TV and going, man, I got to tell you, right now, I really felt like God told me last night, there's 198 people out there watching, and if you give $1,000 right now, God's going to outpour a blessing onto you that you've never seen in your life ever. I'm like, am I caller 197? No, you're 199. Well, what happens? I don't know. Give your $1,000 and we'll find out. Like, there's a disruption there. There's a lot of good, well-intentioned people that call and give, and you should give. It's a biblical principle. But we've disrupted a generation's thinking and understanding of what a relationship with Christ is actually about. So they see that. They hear the way you're talking about what they should be doing politically or the way they should look. Should I look like I look? I don't know. I do it on purpose. This is not by accident. I literally consciously think, how can I disrupt everybody's perception of the way I should look? I'll grow a beard. I'll grow my hair. I'll get tattoos. Like it or don't. I get to be who I am, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen. But we're busy counterproductively working against that because you want me to look like you, and I want you to look like me. That way I feel better about my relationship with Christ because I can base it off of the things that I can touch, feel, and taste as opposed to my connection with the Holy Spirit and an actual relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we're disrupting the whole view of a generation's perspective on you say this, that it's just the commitment to Christ and a sacrifice of me confessing with my mouth and believing in my heart that Jesus Christ is my Savior, saved. But the next step is, there is no next step. There is no next step. But that's not the case. We make there has to be another step because we just can't handle the idea that Jesus is capable of saving somebody on his own. Like, you're awesome, God, but let me write this book. And then everybody will understand exactly what you were trying to say when you hung on the cross and died for everyone. You're welcome. You're welcome. And then we interrupt a generation's progress. We get them in the door. We put up big lights. We play loud guitars. Whatever we have to do to get them here. We get bigger and brighter and bolder and more crazy, and we do eccentric things to convince people they should come to church because we're different. It's not stuffy. It's not this. It's not that. It's everything that you thought church was. We're not. And it's just the same. It's just sugar-coated with stuff and fun and lights and, you know, whatever. And we interrupt the progress that's taking place for these people. They're coming in the doors and like, man, this is different. I can handle this. I can have a relationship with Christ. I can see why people enjoy this. This is making sense. And just when they're about to have the breakthrough they were looking for, the breakthrough that we were hoping they would have, we're like, look, you've been here for about 3 months now. Have you ever thought about coming to, one of my qualification classes so you can be in the choir now? Or, I know you really want to be a part of this, but here's the thing. I just need you to maybe dress a little bit more like me and just tone it down with the questioning. And you know, to be honest with you, like, you really should know more about the Bible than you know. I mean, do you even know about the idea of the Trinity and what it means and all the different stuff that goes along with again, the disclaimer here is that is all very important. I get it. I know that, and I will stand by it till I die. The There's a begging and a pleading taking place in every single one of us that have ever been birthed on this planet to know our Maker. I mean, we come out of our mother's womb wanting to have a relationship with Christ, being opposed at every angle from Satan to have that actual relationship. We all know that. And if you don't, that's what's taking place. Why add to the drama? Why, I don't want to beat your baby up. It's going to have enough fight by itself, right? Don't beat Vanessa's baby up. Let's go to Galatians 7:10. As I was putting this like message together, it's funny. Like, I asked the Lord, I'm like, how do I say what I'm trying to say, what you want me to say? And I start reading my Bible, and I'm like, I get why some preachers just read the Bible, and that's their message, because it's better than anything we could say. Wait, it's not Galatians 7:10. I wrote that down wrong. Maybe it is. Let me look. No, because there is no Galatians 7. It can't be. Oh, 5:1. Sorry. Wait, let me make sure. No, it's Galatians 5:7. That's what it is. You were running superbly. Who cut in on you? Deflecting you from the true course of obedience. This detour doesn't come from the one who called you into the race in the first place. And please don't toss this off as insignificant. It only takes a minute, a minute amount of yeast, you know, to permeate an entire loaf of bread. Deep down, the Master has given me confidence that you will not defect, but the one who is upsetting you, whoever he is, will bear the divine judgment. Be careful. Be careful about how much you really want others to look and sound and be and act like you. Because if you were honest with yourself, you don't like yourself that much either. I know I can't be the only person that goes home at night and struggles falling asleep thinking, I can't believe I said that today. I can't believe I acted that way. I can't believe I said that to that person. I can't believe I did this to my loved one. I can't believe I talked to my mother this way. I can't believe I treated my friend like that. Am I the only one? Okay. Be careful about how much you put yourself into the equation is the whole point of the message. And it's a harsh message, and it's a reflective message, a look in the mirror kind of perspective, but it's a refreshing one too, because it takes the load off of you. It's not your responsibility. That's the good side of the situation, is that as much as I'm suggesting that you have no part in the equation and that you mess things up, we mess things up more than we make them better, the good part about that is that I don't have to do anything anyway. Like, it just takes the pressure off of me. My burden to save you is not my burden. It's Jesus' burden. I want to live free. I want to live free. I want to live free. My living free sets you free. It perpetuates it. It recreates it. Because you see me living free. And if I'm really living free, you going to want to be like me? Of course you are. Yes. Everywhere Jesus went, they're like, I want to be like that guy. They barely even had to hear him. They saw him walk. When he walked into Jerusalem for the last time, even his own disciples were like, dang, who is that dude? They've been following him for years. That's called freedom. There's a certain walk that comes with an individual that has freedom. There's a certain stride. There's a certain presence. There's a certain amount of just, man, who is that chick? Who is that guy? They just got something, and I want it. They didn't have to be like, let me show you what I got. You know you want it. That's not the way it goes. It's just, I got it, and you look at me, and you're like, I want that. That's called freedom. That's why we're attracted to people like Pastor Kasson. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I'm attracted to people like some of the elders at our church. That's why I'm still here. Because I know a bunch of free people. Galatians 5:1, it says, Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Man, stand up and fight for your right to be free. Teenagers, be free, man. Don't let people not let you be who you are. Because it has no bearing on your relationship with Christ. The reality is, once you become free, your focus isn't necessarily on how you look, what you sound like, where you go, who you hang out with, what you wear, where you're going. It's on freedom. And where the Spirit leads, you follow. And the more of it you get, the more of it you look for it. And that's all the residuals end up taking care of themselves. There's no do's or don't list. Should I do this or shouldn't I do that? No, just be free. Just follow the Holy Spirit. Just ask Him every single day when you wake up. It's really crazily simple. What do I do today? Where do I go? How do I respond to the situation? What do I do with my life? Answer me. Thank you. Good. All right, I'll be back in a little bit. A couple hours go by. What do I do? Where do I go? How do I respond to the situation? What do I do with my life? Thank you. Okay, I'll be back in a little bit. It's just a repetitive process. And it's not that difficult. It's just that when you don't ask, stuff piles up, then more stuff piles up, then more stuff piles up. And the only way to make you feel better about all the piled of stuff that you have in your life is for me to track somebody down and be like, you don't look at all like me. You don't look at all like you said you would be, and you should be more like me. Let me see your credentials. Are you playing the drums this week? What'd you do this past week? Don't tell me. Here's the reality. If you ask me what I struggle with, I will not answer you. Do you know why? Because God is the only person that I'm answering with that stuff. Wait a second. I want to answer you. Here's the reality of what I know. Answering you takes this mic off my chest. Because you don't want to hear from somebody who has issues. Camp's coming up next week. Anybody sending their kids? Who's going to take care of them that week, Marilyn? Do you know their issues? You know all the camp counselors' issues? Do you want to know them? No, you don't. The good thing is that God's the only person you need to talk about to your issues. But I want to be able to talk to you about them. Because you're my brother. The catch to living free is this. Galatians 13, 15, or why did I write these crazy numbers down? It's Galatians 5. The verses don't even exist. I'm like, go to Galatians 10. I'll find it. Just hold on. Okay, here it is. It's Galatians 5, 13. This is the catch to everything that I'm providing, or I'm saying. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you will be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? Where are the people that had freedom last year that were sitting next to you? Are they at another church? Are they not at church at all? Who cares if they go to church? Are they serving Christ? Do they still believe that God is their Savior? Are you responsible for the annihilation of that? Am I responsible for the annihilation of that? I don't want to be responsible for that annihilation. I know you don't. That's our burden. Our burden is to be concerned with the annihilation of other people's opportunity to have freedom. That's your job. That's my job. That's it. That's it. That's all. I've already said how we mess it up. You know, we get involved. And it's not ever going to be perfect. I'm not asking anybody to have this, you know, sense that tonight when you leave, here's what I want you to work on. Be perfect. You're going to be disrespectful. You're going to be inappropriate. You're going to be judgmental. You're going to continue to be all the things that humans are because you're human. And the devil lives here and he's coming after you every single day. It just is what it is. What this message is about is recognizing that, catching it, stopping it, repenting for it, and moving on towards growing. You know? But just be honest. Just be honest about the fact that you got porn issues, that you got alcohol issues, that you got drug issues, that you got anger issues, that you got prejudice issues. You got all kind of junk wrong with us. I keep saying you, us, us. I wrote it down in my notes. I'm like, us, I, we, us, I, we, us, I, we, us, I, we, not you, not you. We got crazy amounts of problems, guys. And it's okay. Imagine a church. Growth is essential. I'm disclaiming that again. Growth is essential. You've been here for 30 years. You're still struggling with the same stuff you were struggling with on day one. Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, man. Growth is essential. And that's why it's important to have the things that Church on the North Coast and other churches like us offer. That's why it's important to listen to your elders. That's why it's important to take counsel from your pastor. That's why it's important to take Foundations of Faith. It's very important. Disclaimer over. We have issues that we need to address and that we need to be open with others about. I'm not suggesting you wear a big A on your chest and walk around and let everybody know, like with a badge. Hey, I got this disgusting issue. I got this big problem. Or I'm a cheater. I'm addicted. Look, find an accountability partner that you can be open and honest with and that will keep your secret and be, you know, safeguard you, protect you, and help you work through your issues. But find that person. Be open to be that person when somebody comes to you. If you see somebody that you think may have those issues, well, they do, talk to them about them. That's what small groups are about. That's why we do those kind of things. It's funny, a couple of years ago, we're doing, everybody knows about the promotion with Joel Osteen and how we're working with their ministry. It's great. I love Joel Osteen. I love his messages. I love his attitude. I love his vibe. I just like him. Good dude. I made fun of him, not fun of him, like I characterized him in that video if you guys saw it a couple months ago. But I swear, a couple of years ago, when he first kind of came on the scene, don't front, like a lot of people here and a lot of people across the country were like, whoa, 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 buddy. Where's the fire and brimstone? Where's the honest truth message? Where's the make me feel bad about being a sinner message? You know where it went? It got caught up in freedom. It got caught up in Jesus dying. What bad message is there to preach? What negative perspective is there to have? What defeated ideal can you even talk about? There's nothing but good left. There's nothing but positivity left. It all died when Jesus died and when he resurrected. Amen. What else could a guy like Joel talk about? You know what distracted us and made us curious about him? Is that he was the first of, in a while, on a large stage, that was actually living free. We were like, what's he doing? What is this? We didn't even recognize freedom. Here we are 4 years later. Come get your free freedom book. We're associated with that. You know why? Because we recognize as a ministry that we're like, man, that's good. That's Jesus. And we were doing it in a lot of ways, don't get me wrong. But we were like, we need more of that. We need more of Elijah. You're a good dude. You're a good gal. You're not that bad, Bill. And you're not. You're just not. I mean, what could you do that's that bad? Nothing. You have a chance to live free tonight. It doesn't matter if you've been saved for 30 years, you've been saved never. And you don't even know what the heck I'm talking about. That might be the case too. All I know is that at a number of different times in my life, I was devoid of any type of freedom. Not all of you guys know my story. You know why you don't? Because I know better than tell you what I've been through. And I will maybe at some point after I win the lottery. I know the difference between freedom and not having freedom. Don't get it twisted. Not all you guys know who I am, but most people in here do. I'm just a pastor's kid who's been in church all his life. I know the difference between freedom and not having it. Believe me or not, I know. Galatians 5, 4, and then goes for a while. I can't help it. Reading the Bible is the best portion of my message. Because it should be. I suspect you would never intend this, but this is what happens when you attempt to live by your own religious plans and projects. You are cut off from Christ. You fall out of grace. Meanwhile, we expectantly wait for a satisfying relationship with the Spirit. For in Christ, neither our most conscientious religion nor disregard of religion amounts to anything. What matters is something far more interior, faith expressed in love. And I read the other portion earlier. You were running superbly. Who cut in on you? We don't have the responsibility to cut in on people. We don't have the right to disrupt what God's doing in people's lives. We don't have the authority to corrupt people's perspective on who Christ is and what he has to offer. We shouldn't be interrupting people's progress. We are not God's police. He doesn't need us. Would you agree? I mean, my counsel, I'm skipping down to 16 through 18. My counsel is this, and this is the good part, man. Listen, truth is alive. We advertised tonight's service by telling you that truth died. And he did. And he does. Every single time we disrupt somebody's progress with God. Every time we corrupt somebody's view of Jesus Christ and what he has to offer. Every time I interrupt your relationship and your growth process with Jesus Christ, I kill him. Load up my shotgun and shoot him point blank. And we've all done it before. My counsel is this: live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit. Just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. It's at odds with us. To be free is the opposite of what we are. To be free is the opposite of what we live in every single day. It's at odds with it. That's why when we see it, we don't recognize it. We're like, listen to that punk kid preacher out in Texas talking crazy. He wasn't talking crazy. He was free and we didn't even see it because we're at odds with the idea of being free. We can't even conceptualize the idea that I can live every single day without feeling like crap about myself. Without despising myself when I look at the mirror, because all I do to make myself feel better is judge others, is hold grudges, is police everybody else's life spiritually. These two ways of life are antithetical. so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way according to how you feel on any given day.
That's weird.
Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence?
Hey, why don't we live by the Spirit
and so to escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? Why not? Sounds pretty good. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitious, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of marital and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. This isn't the first time I have warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. But what happens when we live God's way? This is the good part. What happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things. Whoa, imagine that. Signing up to volunteer for something and not quitting after 3 months. Forget participating in the church, it's in your general life. Imagine sticking with something for more than a month. I'm the worst at that. It's just a reflection of my inability to live free. And a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. You know what I think of when I read that? I'm gonna drink. I'm closing. I think of Rob White. I'm 29 years old. I'm not choked up because I'm 29 years old. I know. I think of Rob White. You know why? Because at almost 30 years old, you know what he was when I was like 5, 8, 7? He was my Royal Ranger commander. Guess who's sitting by herself tonight? Joyce, his wife. Guess where he's at? He's a Royal Ranger commander. That doesn't comprehend in our minds and in our hearts. Because when people like Rob, and there's countless examples here at this church, that's why I love it, live free, they can do things like guide a bunch of rambunctious, ridiculous kids for almost 30 years. That's called freedom. And Rob's one, I hope he doesn't mind I'm talking about him. Oh well. He's not like, he's a man's man kind of guy. He's not like the guy that's, you know, not that it's unmanly to do it. You know, he's not like up at the front like, yeah, you know, during worship and praising. And he's not like overly exuberant or I guess outgoing, you know, whatever. Most of the time during worship, I'll see him and he's pretty much like this. Or like this. Or with his hands in the front. Or like this. I mean, just, you know, pretty much close to the vest. But here's what we'll do. We'll go, man, you don't really worship that much. You probably should do a little bit more of that. I wonder, you know, how his life actually is at home.
know, because when pastor says bow your heads, all he does is just bow his head. He doesn't like bow his head, bow his knees, put his hands up, like sniffle, cry, whatever. Because it's difficult for us to handle the idea that somebody that lives free doesn't have laws. They don't have preconceived notions of what it means to be in love with Jesus. They don't have an identity with doing this equals this. That is called freedom. We don't even understand what it looks like. We don't recognize it because we're so used to being like, freedom looks like this. It doesn't have a definition. It's lawless. Isn't that cool? And the more our church, now CNC, becomes free, becomes open to the idea of being like, man, I got a problem and I need to talk to somebody about it. And I don't lose my oh-so-significant position in the greeters, you know, position. And I can actually talk to somebody about it and not feel like I'm at risk for losing what actually gives me life and breath and community. That's a step in the right direction, man. Let me tell you something. These empty seats we're looking around here right now, filled to the brim. People don't come here for lights. They don't come here because we got a lot of screens. They don't come here because we have kids programs. They come here because there is a reflection of Jesus Christ in what we say and how we live. And the more we do that, the more people get a taste of real freedom. And it just continues to breed itself over and over and over again. When numbers are down here, I would suggest that as a group, we're responsible for not living free. When they're up, I would suggest we're responsible for living free. 2 + 2 always equals 4. This always comes out the same. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessity is killed off for good. Crucified. Ouch. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work it out. Work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better than another, another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is original. You're original. Jesus made and broke the mold the same day he made you. And every single one of you in here have an opportunity to have what Christ wanted to give you when he sent his son and he died for you on a cross. Receive that tonight. Man, look, circumstances are going to oppose this idea the second you get out of here. The second you get out of here. You may see somebody that brings up a bad thing. Your car may not start. Your kids may not clean the house like you said by the time you get home. Your mom and dad are going to bust your chops for who knows what. I'm sure they'll find something. Your wife's going to say something to you that's going to make you mad. Your husband, you're going to go home, he's still going to be a jerk. But that doesn't mean that what we're hearing right now, what we're understanding isn't true. It's true. You know how you keep it true in your life? Is you, man, you ain't taking away my freedom. You got to fight for it. Whatever that means, man. Whatever it means. No matter what you got to do, fight for your right to be free. Every single day. Don't let people not let you be free. Whatever it means. You look crazy. People are like, look at them. How come they don't ever come around? Because every time I come around you, you ruin my freedom vibe. That's why I don't come around you. That's something I have to work on every single day. I've been growing up here since I was born. Before I was born. I have to work on the idea of not being standoffish to people because I'm afraid if I get to know you and you get to know me,
You're going to take away my freedom vibe. You know when I feel the most free? When I'm in the woods. That's why I go there. Because you're not there. I know, easy. Easy, easy. I do. But the reality is that's, I'm free there. No judgment. No deer has ever told me I'm stupid. No birds have ever been like, look at what he is wearing. Can't believe that dude. Who does he think he is? None of them. They're just like, chirp, chirp, chilling. It's super fine. But guess what? We're not called to do that. We're not called to take a freedom gift and then go hide it. Right? That's not what we're called to do. We're called to open it up. We're called to let our light shine. How's the song go? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Because you know what happens when you let your light shine? What happens when you let your light shine? Anybody? It grows. It grows in you and it grows in others. And you become more free than you were the day before and then the day after that and the day after that. And before you know it, you're walking around like a glowing LED light or something crazy. And people are like, that I'm attracted to. Like a bug to a flame. I gotta be around that dude. Gotta. Can't stop myself. Gotta go there. Gotta be there. That's what CNC is supposed to be. That's what we are. That's what we're becoming more of. Amen? Is that what you want to be? That's what I want to be. Otherwise, I'm good. I'm so good. I'm trying really hard to make this make sense. Because it's the opposite of what I want to do. It's the opposite of what I want to be. Let's make it work. Yeah, we will. And the only way we're going to do it is by living free and allowing others to live free. Take into context everything I said with all the disclaimers, because I believe them. And I say the disclaimers not to get me off the hook or get a, you know, away with not getting a phone call or getting a bad email tomorrow or somebody correcting my dad and be like, don't ever let him preach again. I'm not saying them for that reason. I'm saying them because there's truth behind them too. I don't want people to get the wrong idea that I'm saying what I'm saying without with just this disregard for the idea of growth and discipleship and leadership in your life. You gotta have that, man. But look, that's not what's taking me to heaven. Don't get it twisted. Amen? If you have never received Christ in your life, close your eyes, everybody. Not because we're going to pray, because I don't want you to look at me. I want you to see Christ and nothing else, because that's freedom. A relationship with Christ is not me. It is not this room. It is not this band. It is not a clever message. It is not, man, just all the rules and regulations that you think that it is. It is absolute freedom. It is the ability to be anything that you want to be. It is the ability to go anywhere you want to go. That's Christianity. Accept that. Disregard me. Disregard anything else that says that's not what it is. Run from it as fast as you can. If that's what you want, invite that into your life. It's simple. All you have to do is say, God, I want to be free. And I know that the only way I can have that is through you. In your own words, pray to him. Jesus, free me from me. I give my life to you. I follow you the rest of my life, the rest of my days. The moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed, here's Christianity. It's letting him lead you. It's asking about everything. I'm talking about from the most serious to the silliest. As a practice of commitment to his sacrifice. I mean, if you got to ask him where to go to eat for lunch, man, do it. It sounds stupid, but do it. Because it's just a practice of saying, God, I don't care. Everything you want me to do, I will do. From do I eat this or don't I? From do I go there or don't I? Do I talk to this person or don't I? It gets ridiculous, but I'm telling you, man, that's freedom. Because he will answer every single question every single time. I should be the last person up here talking. I should be the last one speaking, you guys. really, I really should be the last person talking about this stuff. But the reality is, it's not me that's saying it. It's just, I just got the guts to tell you that I got issues. But thank God I'm free. So be free tonight. If this is the first time you ever accepted Jesus Christ into your life, get connected. Come up here and talk to me. There's about 99% of the people in this room you could talk to tonight. Just pick one. You're probably going to be talking to a saved, wonderfully Holy Spirit-filled person that's going to be able to explain to you what I'm talking about. And if they can't, you're weirded out by them, your personalities don't clash, move on to the next one, you'll find somebody. And if you're here tonight and you've been saved and you are saved and you're not living free, man, pray that prayer. God, reinstill in me a freedom that I once had. Redirect my purpose. Take control of my perceptions of people. Take control of my mind of thinking that I have something to do with what you have to offer. We ask forgiveness, God. We ask forgiveness, God. In Jesus' name. What's the most important thing? I love how it's one of the things that stand out to me that when you're speaking, no matter if it's at church or any public engagement, like you can get people to do anything. Like, isn't that funny? I mean, that's a good statement, so it's not like it's bad, but that's what I do to my 6-year-old. I'm like, hey, what's the most important thing? Stop right there. I don't want to wear this. Stop it. What's the most important thing? Jesus, family, and friends. That means t-shirt doesn't qualify. Right? It's cool, though, because it works whether you're 60 or 60. Listen, be free tonight. Go from here feeling love lavished. Go from here feeling like you have the world in front of you to take and just do whatever you want with. Paint it with a big, huge brush. Have fun. Be creative. Explore. Be wild with Jesus. Right? Amen? I love you guys. And I really, 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 from the bottom of my heart, take very seriously the opportunity to speak at this pulpit. Some of the things in my life may not say that, but, you know, neither do yours, so I don't feel that bad. But I do. It's the flaw of the human. I respect this house, man. I do. It's home for me. As many times as I'm like, oh, I do not want to go back there. My dad, my pastor, my boss, my job. I went to school here. Oh my gosh. But it's my home. And I love the idea that as many things as I say and I do wrong, I still feel loved by every single one of you. And that's because I'm free, so I discount you guys judging me. So I'm like, it's all good. So God bless you. I love you and I appreciate you. All right, I don't like doing this because I feel weird about it, but the reality is what it is. On your way out tonight, please prepare an offering and give to the house of God. Because freedom, unfortunately, is not free on this planet. We have to pay light bills, we have to pay salaries, we have to pay expenses. I want your baby to be able to play in that nursery, and I got to pay for it. You got to pay for it. So please give tonight and help us continue to preach the message of freedom to everybody that walks into these doors. Amen? God bless you. Have a great evening.